Father and our God, we are grateful to you for calling your servants to be bishops in your church. We pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, through them increase your church, renew its ministry, and unite its members in a holy fellowship of faith and love. Enable them as a true shepherd to feed and govern your flock. Make them wise teachers and selfless guardians of faith and sacrament through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Pray, be seated. We give glory, honor, and adoration to God for his mercies on all of us. He has brought us here, safe and sound, to be partakers of the grace he bestows on these servants of God. I pray that vocation of God shall never cease in our midst, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. On behalf of my wife, my family, and the good people of Ilesha Anglican Diocese, I acknowledge with gratitude and thanksgiving the privilege given to me by the Archbishop, Metropolitan, and Primate of all Nigeria, and Mama Nigeria, the Most Reverend Henry Chukwudu Ndukuba, and Mrs. Angela Ndukuba. You have done this to God, and God will continue to honor you. Your tenure as Archbishop, Metropolitan, and Primate of all Nigeria shall witness monumental achievements in the name of Jesus. We acknowledge your dynamic, charismatic, and pragmatic leadership in our church. God shall daily increase your anointing, and your latter glory shall be greater than the former, in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to acknowledge the presence of our Governor, Your Excellency, Senator Dr. Ifeanyi Okowa, KSC Amna Mama, and your entourage. We are grateful. We thank you sincerely for your hospitality since our primate has arrived, and we pray that your glory will never go less, in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to congratulate the Diocese of Asaba as we express our gratitude to the Right Reverend Justus and Mokeku and his wife Teresa Mokeku and all our people of Asaba for your hospitality and generosity. God will continue to replenish you with good things of life, in the name of Jesus. On behalf of all of us, We want to congratulate our brother for your election, for the confirmation of the election and the consecration that is taking place today. We rejoice with your wife, children and relations. The Lord who called you shall be with you and guide you in all things. He shall protect and bless your endeavors in the name of Jesus Christ. I equally want to congratulate my friend who will be presented as the Archbishop of Niger Delta, the Most Reverend Blessing Eyinda Amama. May God continue to strengthen you day by day in the name of Jesus Christ. When I was given this assignment to lead the retreat and to preach by my primate, what came to my remembrance was what happened 21 years ago. When we were to be ordained at Uweri, on June 4, 2000, our retreater was your first bishop here, the Right Reverend Roland Ngosu. He was the one who did the retreat and also preached the sermon. And I said, I'm coming to Asaba again, and it is my pleasure to be here. Fortunately then, we were only two. And today, we are having two again, which we are consecrating. What a coincidence. And we pray that God, who has led your primate thus far, will continue to endow you with his Holy Spirit without measure in the name of Jesus Christ. The text for our message, for our meditation, is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. It reads, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, endurance, and gentleness." That is the admonition of Paul to Timothy. He was coming to the conclusion of the first letter to Timothy, and he told him what to do. And the letter was written so that if Paul delayed in visiting Timothy, he would know how to govern the household of God. Like father, like son, is not just a well-worn cliche. It is a truth repeated in our homes. An experience proves that children often follow the lifestyles of their parents, repeating their successes and mistakes. Paul wrote the first letter to Timothy in about 64 AD from Rome, or Macedonia, possibly Philippi, probably just prior to Paul's final imprisonment in Rome. He wrote the second epistle in AD 66 or 67 from prison in Rome. There has never been a man like Paul. There's no other person like him. Paul was a missionary apostle. He was a man of deep faith, undying love, conviction, and profound insight. And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us God's message, particularly the administration of God's church. Timothy is a prime example of one who was influenced by godly relatives. His mother, you know, Eunice, and grandmother, Lois, were Jewish believers who helped shape his life and promoted his spirituality and growth. You can see this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 3:15. Timothy was a faithful, good, and loyal companion of St. Paul. He was greatly influenced by Paul. He became Paul's protege and bishop of the church at Ephesus. In our text, Paul addressed Timothy as, quote and unquote, man of God, who must run away from all that will tarnish his good reputation and which will be hindrances to the spread of the gospel. Paul has earlier enumerated the qualities of a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and if you look at from verse 1 to verse 7, you will see this there. He said, "This is a true saying. If a man desires to the office of a bishop, he desires a good work." He then enumerated the qualities. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. He must be vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy for money, patient, not brawler, not covetous, one that rules his house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knows not how to govern his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, that being lifted up with pride, he falls into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, as he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. Even so must their wives be grave, is not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. If you look at these qualities, if you number them, you have 16 of them for a bishop. And in our service pamphlet, we have a summation of what Paul expects a bishop to be. If you open to page 21, I'm quoting from our prayer book. He said, "A bishop in God's church is called to be one with the apostles, to proclaim Christ's resurrection and interpret the gospel, and testify to Christ's sovereignty as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You are called to guide the faith, unity, and discipline of the church, to celebrate and to provide for administration of sacraments of the new covenant, to ordain priests and deacons, and to join consecrating bishops, and to be in all things a faithful pastor and wholesome example to the entire flock of Christ. With fellow bishops, you will share in the leadership of the church." I want to emphasize on that. With fellow bishops, you will share in the leadership of the church throughout the world. Your heritage is the faith of the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and those of every generation who have looked to God in hope. Your joy will be to follow him who came, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life and ransom for many. The beauty of bishop's ministry and of life and administration lies in the collegiate, and so the bishop works together, and that is why we have the house of bishop. We don't say houses of bishop. And at the synod, where we call the House of Bishops, percentage only one bishop will answer. Right, the Reverend so-so-so will say present. Then we say it's 100%. That 100% is not that bishop alone, but the House of Bishops. So the beauty of a bishop lies in the collegiate. And I want to admonish you to take this so far from time to time. Paul said, this is a true saying, if anybody wants to become a bishop, he desires a good thing. A good bishop is a source of strength, inspiration, and wisdom to his people. Bishops can make a qualitative difference for good or ill to how church people experience their faith, worship, and witness from day to day. How Christian people see their bishops affects their morale, for better or for worse. Bishops set the overall tone of their dioceses by their examples, in their words, and in their actions. But a poorly equipped bishop, one who lacks understanding of the office or skills, aptitudes to carry it out, is a serious liability. I pray you will never be a liability to the church in the name of Jesus Christ. A bishop who is not up to the job can have devastating effect on the morale and functioning of the diocese and hold back its mission. That is why Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, I quote, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. A bishop in the Church of Nigeria is entrusted with a daunting role and is asked to do an extremely difficult job. Some clergy crave a bishopric and think that somehow they deserve that they should get it. Well, it was the second primate, Adetiloye, of blessed memory, the most reverend Adetiloye, Rabbi Adetiloye, blessed Mary, memory, who said, every deacon has his mitre in his pocket, but only God knows those who put it on. So every priest deserves, at least when he's qualified, deserves to be a bishop. But in our text, Paul told Timothy to stay away from all those who will corrupt them. If a priest deserves to be one, and some, when they get it, they find it not quite what they hope for. Maybe some of us don't know that the work of a bishop is a lonely office. You are on your own most of the time. It is my prayer that when you take decisions, God will be there for you. It was late Chief Obafemi Awolowo who said, no advice is wrong, no advice is bad. Anybody who comes to give you advice means well. But decision will rest upon you. Your responsibility is to take decisions and to stand by it. And before you take decision, you must consult and consult. After you have taken so many advice, consult your God. And I pray God will guide your steps. Paul told Timothy to stay away from those who just want to make money from preaching and from those who stray from sound teaching. If you read the whole epistle, the epistle to Timothy and Titus, wrong doctrines, and those who want to make themselves rich, who think godliness is great, are part of what Paul dealt with in those gospels and in his admonition to Timothy. He said they should stay away from those who divert their attention to be making money and to sound teaching, who is want them to stray away from sound teaching of the gospel, and they will refer to quarrel and cause strife in the church. Paul, in our text, used active verb and forceful one too to describe the Christian life. And so he says the bishop's life must be active. He must be active all the time. Active verbs like flee, pursue, fight, take hold are very, very current in that text. We must have active faith in order to lead the people of God. In our text also, Paul did instruct Timothy to become a good example as a leader. He reminded him that he is a man of God. This man, this term, is used for Timothy only in the New Testament. It was used 70 times in the Old Testament in reference to the spokesman of God. A man of God is someone whose duty and responsibility is to speak the word of God. Hence, note, he flees. He's on the run. He flees. He's on the run. The Greek word, phage, which means flee, from which we get the word fugitive. The man of God is on the run. He constantly fleeing, fearless fleeing the love of money, fleeing ungodly behavior, fleeing lust, fleeing sin. Praise the Lord. He follows after fleeing, he follows after. The man of God pursues righteousness and godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. He gives himself to the right use of the truth of the word of God. The man of God is engaged in daily warfare against the kingdom of darkness. He is not resting on his laurels. He is faithful. The man of God holds tightly to eternal life. He views faithfulness as a Christian, as an example to the other of service and necessary responsibility. Paul again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 was one following him said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to the many women who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with force like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. For no man serving as a soldier gets involved in a civilian affair. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of crops." Unquote. A bishop, therefore, who must succeed and lead his flock to eternity, must be able to seek the mind of God. and decide to please God and God alone. A bishop seeking popularity is doomed to fail. His integrity is already drawing away. Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, "Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." And Abraham Lincoln famously said, "You can please all the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you can never please all the people all of the time." Brethren, as we welcome you to the episcopate, in order for you and for your wife and the family to set example, and in order for you to flee all the temptations as mentioned by Paul in our text, you must seek, and all of us who are bishops must seek for the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 22, Jesus demands, he said, "Ye Jews demand miracles, signs, and Greek look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. It's something blood to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Therefore, a lawyer endeavor stay connected to Jesus every day. Stay connected with Jesus. Secondly, you need to adopt a prayerful life, devotional life. And you will see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul admonished Timothy to devote himself to prayer. We must pray for the decaying world which we live. We need prayer for Nigeria, our country, at a time like this. We need prayers in this terrible and perilous time. We already have in the church those who claim to know the church more than the church leaders, those who claim to know the Catholic Church more than the Pope. This I refer to as principalities and powers, and they are there all the time. We must be battle ready all the time. The third thing is that we need a life of total sanctification. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." John chapter 17, verse 17. The word of God must be our food and drink. And the fourth one is that give yourself to study. Reading makes a man of God. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And the fifth thing is that you pursue righteousness. Paul said, "For physical training is of some values, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present and the life to come." And sixth, watch your thoughts. Watch your thoughts. Before you know it, your thought becomes your word, and your word becomes your action. And before you know it, you are derailed. I pray you will never fail. You will never fall. And you will never falter. This is why Paul said in his letter to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whosoever is poor,
is pure, whatsoever is good, is lovely, and whatsoever is admirable or praiseworthy, sing about these things. Whatever you have learned or received from me and seen me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I commend you to the hands of God and Jesus Christ, the true shepherd, the chief shepherd of the church, as you continue to labor in his vineyard. That sevenfold spirit of Jesus will fall upon you. That sevenfold of Jesus was quoted in Isaiah chapter 11. It starts from the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of discernment, the spirit of power, the spirit of godliness, and the fear of the Lord. This will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brethren, we are celebrating Jesus Christ's ministry. The ministry does not belong to us, it belongs to Jesus. And we must do it according to the owner's manner. And when it is done that way, it will not lack his blessing. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.